The following is a recording for Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation on Friday, October 17th, 2014, at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Kathy Grannis. Ms. Grannis, you may begin. Okay, it looks like Ms. Grannis has disconnected. So, Ms. Goodfellow, do you want to take the floor?
Kathy's going to reconnect. So if we can just give her a minute.
Okay, sure.
Okay, thanks.
Here she is now.
Okay. I am so sorry. I hit the wrong button. I was supposed to hit volume up and I hit disconnect. So, are we live, Pam? Are we good?
Yes, we're live. You are ready to go.
Again, I'm so sorry, everyone. Thank you for joining us and for dialing in. Most of you know the survey came out, NRS First Holiday Spending Survey came out yesterday, and was full of some really great information. For those of you who haven't covered it and may be looking to do a holiday spending story down the road, the goal here today is to pump you full of information. If you've already covered it and are still interested in what our expert Pam Goodfellow has to say, then I guarantee you'll be hearing some really great things. So let's begin. I'm going to go ahead and just get started real quick and give a quick overview of our spending data. This year, the average person will spend about 5% more than last year. And, you know, of course, NRF is forecasting holiday sales to increase 4.1%. And while they are not anywhere near each other in terms of being able to compare them, we are surprisingly pleased that they've come in so close, because there are certainly years that we've seen consumers say one thing and completely do another. So maybe this year we will actually see that healthy 4 or 5% growth in holiday sales. And really what we're looking at this year in terms of, you know, the where people will spend, we were again surprised in terms of the number of people who plan to shop online. I'd say that is certainly one of the very big story topics this year. The average person, 56% of holiday shoppers, say they will shop online this year, and that's up from 51% last year, and it's the highest in the survey's history. So I should clarify, though, that these shoppers that plan to shop online don't necessarily intend to purchase 56% of the time. This is simply just, you know, 56% of holiday shoppers say at some point they will shop online. And I think it's inevitable. Everybody knew that online shopping was going to be very big this year, especially after the closeout of the holiday season last year, when companies and shipping companies saw the large rush that they did. Part of that, of course, due to the shortened holiday calendar, but I think it was inevitable that we're going to continue to see more people shop online, especially with the adoption of mobile. Pam will get into some great mobile figures in a little bit. I'm going to talk on one more thing real quick before I ask Pam a question. This year, in terms of self-gifting, this was a really interesting trend that we noticed. We ask people every year about their intentions to buy items that are not gifts. So this would be somebody going out on Black Friday or on the Saturday before Christmas and specifically stocking up on sweaters or video games or even, you know, high-definition televisions, simply because they're on sale. and with no intention to gift them. This year, the number of people who plan to take advantage of retailer sales and promotions to purchase these items is the same as last year, but there was a decrease in the amount the average person plans to spend, about a $12 decrease, about $134 last year to an average of $126 this year. So, you know, when thinking about it, we were kind of scratching our heads. We believe that some of the optimism in the economy right now could be driving this, you know, the driving holiday shoppers to feel a lot less reliant on those Veer discounts to purchase for themselves. We also see it during Black Friday. Believe it or not, Black Friday in, you know, a bad economy is bigger than it would be in a healthy economy, again, because of shoppers' reliance on those deep discounts. So this could be part of the reason people are cutting back on self-gifting. I wanted to ask Pam what she thought about why people might be cutting back.
Yeah, you know, like we said, I think it's still a healthy number of people who plan to self-gift. That 57% number is certainly not an insignificant number. You know, it's down about $8 year over year. And I think, you know, we are seeing like about a 7% increase in plans to spend on gifts for other people this year. So I think it might be a bit of a trade-off there too. You know, besides feeling a little bit better about the economy and maybe spending more on themselves throughout the rest of the year and feeling less of that need to buy for themselves and take advantage of the deep discounts during the holiday season. Because there have been some great deals out there, you know, the other 9 months of the year. But we are also seeing some other interesting trends in self-gifting. And looking at the data demographically, we can see that as age decreases, the willingness to self-gift increases. So you look at an 18 to 24-year-old, and about 73% of them plan to spend on themselves. And, of course, that's compared to the 57% of shoppers overall. So that's a much bigger number. We also see about 70% of 25 to 34-year-olds plan to self-gift. They're actually spending the highest amount on themselves or planning to spend the highest amount on themselves, $165. So compared to that $127 overall, that's quite a big shift. 35 to 44-year-olds, who are some of the biggest spenders on gifts, decor, candy, food, and flowers, those other items, are also looking at a little bit more at self-gifting compared to the average consumer. We're seeing about 61% of those folks planning to self-gift, spending about $150. So I think we're still going to see some of those, you know, pockets of consumers that are looking to buy for me, as well for other people. You know, some of the other interesting trends we see in self-gifting is that those younger two groups, the 18 to 34-year-olds, are a little bit more bullish on their plans to spend on themselves this year compared to 2013. For the average 18 to 24-year-old, the percentage planning to buy on themselves is up almost 5% year over year. And the dollar amount they plan to spend on themselves is up about 9% year over year. You know, they're still only spending about, last year they planned to spend about $124 on themselves. And this year it's about $135. It's a little bit ahead of average there.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it kind of, you know, depends on who you're talking to. The 18 to 24-year-olds are, you know, probably, buying for fewer people. They maintain smaller budgets overall on gifts and cards and decor and all those other things, you know, and they have less disposable income. To spend. So I think this group also sees, you know, the holiday season as that opportunity to buy those things that they do have to put off during the rest of the year because they have fewer dollars to spend.
Excellent point.
I think the other really interesting thing we see with these type of millennial type shoppers is that holiday shopping isn't quite the chore. You know, it is for older shoppers. You know, you've got the moms buying for 20 different people, and if you're, 19, you might be buying for mom and dad and the sibling, and, you know, you can get your shopping done within a couple of hours. You know, so it's, you know, going out and holiday shopping is more of a social experience for those guys, too. I mean, you know, I'm about a 20-year veteran of Black Friday shopping, and I'm a little ashamed to admit that. But, you know, I think we really see a shift. We've seen a shift in the past several years, you know, with stores opening earlier and opening on Thanksgiving, the types of people who come out. You know, it's hard, very hard to convince, like, a 19-year-old to get up at 3 or 4 in the morning. But ask them to pull an all-nighter, you know, on Thursday night and come out and shop and look around and hang out with their friends. It's a great proposition there. So, you know, it's more about that social experience, too. I think that kind of plays into feeling that it's okay to, you know, buy for yourself, too.
Yep, absolutely. All really good points. And millennials are somehow still really hot right now. So all really good points. Thanks, Pam. One of the other things we noticed this year, we asked a little bit differently in terms of why people pick certain retailers and why, what's important to them, and, you know, when they pick a specific retailer, why they shop with them. We asked it a little differently this year. Historically, we've asked, you know, shoppers to select only one option. Well, this year we let shoppers select multiple options in terms of the most important factors in their decision to shop with a particular retailer. And, of course, we, you know, throughout the recession, price has been paramount, and there's no question about that. But when retailers are competing on price, and everybody's competing on price, I think, you know, consumers were getting a little weary and a little, maybe a little tired of it. They were looking for that other option, that other exclusive piece of, you know, the pie. Maybe I think the buzzword is value, and I know value has come up a lot in the last few years, but I do think that the data this year points to somebody who is still seeking that value. The survey found that 61% said that the quality of merchandise is an important factor in their decision to shop, and 60% said selection of merchandise. So again, that's, you know, the exclusive lines. And, you know, if you're on a budget and you have children to shop for or other family to shop for, you certainly don't want to end up buying another item in a year because it hasn't lasted. So why not spend that extra bit, you know, and buy something that'll last? Right along with that, I think the other very obvious trend is people's, you know, love of free shipping. 42% that said free shipping and shipping promotions were important factors for them. And while it's the lowest percent of all of the categories, I still think it's interesting that a quarter, 25%, said easy-to-use website or mobile site. So think about, you know, how far we've come that consumers are actually judging a retailer based on the ease of their website and specifically their mobile site. You know, sometimes it can be an extremely frustrating experience if a shopper goes to a website and it's not optimized yet, especially when you're buying, you know, for a time of year that's as big as the holiday season. So, you know, again, I think, you know, we are looking at a shopper who wants price, but who also wants value. So speaking, you know, of that and kind of on that trend, Pam, you know, one of the other buzzwords for the last few years has been practical. We know people are going to spend more this year. Are they going to splurge? Are they still going to be practical in their shopping? Are they going to, you know, what about how they're going to spend? Are they going to use their credit? Are they going to use their debit? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it'll kind of, I think we'll see a mix this year. I think there'll definitely be shoppers out there still that are extremely budget conscious and, you know, focused on those practical gifts. But at the same time, we're seeing signs of, you know, consumers still thrifting and looking for that quality and willing to pay a little bit more for an exclusive item or, something, when you're comparing cotton over cashmere or, thinking about what mom deserves or, and I think there's, a bit more wiggle room in budgets certainly this year than there have been in past years for consumers to kind of make those choices. But that said, we're definitely, looking at the overall picture and health, the financial health of a consumer. I still think that we're seeing signs of this kind of new normal. Separately, we track indicators for practicality and people who focus on their needs when they're at the store. And, these indicators have relaxed a little bit since the height of the recession, but remain elevated from pre-recession levels. So we're not, quite so uptight about what we've spent in 2008 and 2009, but they're definitely not reverting back to spending habits we saw, in 2006-2007. Consumers remain very much focused on paying down debt and are particularly keen on increasing their savings accounts. I think the overall goal for consumers still now is to really build that solid financial foundation and, so they don't get back to a place that they were in 2008 or 2009, if the economy does experience another downturn or more turmoil. Consumers really just still have that need to feel secure. So that's very much key. So I don't think we'll see shoppers really go overboard on holiday spending at the, certainly not at the expense of their savings accounts. That said, we are seeing signs that consumers are willing to take on a little more debt in terms of credit cards. And by a little more, we're talking about maybe maintaining a balance of $5,000 or less. So it's, we're not charging the extreme gifts here and planning to again, not planning to go overboard. Maybe that willingness to take on a little bit more debt might be playing into this, increased plans for gifting for others this year. I think it seems kind of counterintuitive to say that consumers are really focused on increasing their savings, but at the same time they're in paying down debt, but at the same time they've got credit card, they're more willing to take on credit card debt. But I think consumers, they might have more confidence in their ability to pay off their credit cards in the short term. So in January and February, when all the bills start rolling in, if they've charged a little bit more, they have the better financial standing to pay that off. Mm-hmm. And, I think it might be also one of those, kind of smart shopping strategies. They're maybe charging more to take advantage of some of the perks that credit card companies offer, the airline points. The cash back or, bonus points and those types of things.
Mm-hmm. All great. I know credit cards and savings and that have been topics of conversation for a while now. I'm actually going to get into a topic that I know every retail reporter has had their ear and eye on for a while. So we went ahead and just... remove the elephant in the room and address it head on in terms of data breach. I'm gonna jump right into it, Pam. We asked for the first time how consumers say that they will change their spending habits because of the recent data breaches, and there was some really interesting information that came from it, and we did find. There are a lot of people who are very neutral to the data breaches in terms of their if they're going to change their payment options over the holiday season. There were some who were a lot more likely to pay with cash, or who felt a lot more uncomfortable because of the recent data breaches. What can you tell me about what the survey found in terms of the data breach, Pam?
Yeah, well, overall, about 19% said that they were somewhat or very likely to have the data breaches and what's been going on for the past year affect how they may pay or shop for their holiday merchandise. And that figure rose over 20% for folks above 45. But looking at those under 45, they're less concerned. For example, 18 to 24-year-olds say only about 14.5% said that they're somewhat or very likely to have been affected by the data breaches in how they'll pay for a holiday this season. So it's just kind of younger versus older comparison here. Obviously, the younger you are, the more likely you were to grow up with technology, so it's kind of part of your world. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, maybe, it's not something you wish for, but I think it's, something that's almost, people see as inevitable. So you just got to stay vigilant about, where you shop and what you used to shop and who you give your information to.
Mm-hmm.
Other thing with the older, younger comparison there is that debit and credit cards were much more likely to be used among the older shoppers in about the 35-plus range last year. So they may have been more likely to have been affected by some of the breaches. So, I think that might also be playing into why, we're seeing, more concern above, with some of the older consumers versus the younger ones. Just because mm-hmm. the younger ones were more likely to pay with cash.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we also know our grandparents used to keep their cash in socks under their mattress and have that fear of losing their money for other reasons. So
we might see a renaissance there with those 18 to 24-year-olds.
Right. Exactly. All right, and here's another interesting topic that I love. As a new homeowner, I know what's on my gift list. Pam, what are you seeing in terms of what people are dying to receive this year?
Well, I think this it's almost as like the broken record here. It's gift cards.
it's 8 years in a row now, right?
Yeah. They've beat out apparel and accessories since 2007 was when they finally took the top spot there. So it wasn't even like a recession-driven, kind of practical trend. It was on its way up, before the downturn. And I think one of the really interesting trends we're seeing out of the gift card movement is the rise of grocery store shopping. Of course, we're going there for food and other things, but it's about 51.2% said that they were planning to spend in a grocery store this year for holiday, and that's up 15% from 2007, which is back when gift cards started to really rise. When you think about it, it really makes sense. Grocers offer that one-stop shop for gift card buyers and, lets you avoid the crowds at the malls and the shopping centers. You might be there anyway buying milk and many grocers also have those extra incentives like the fuel rewards or frequent buyer points. So, shoppers can still feel like they're getting a deal. That's kind of my personal soapbox around grocery stores, but, I think this is really interesting. But if, I can backtrack into some of the other popular gifts here, media like books, CDs, DVDs are, a perennial favorite, are number three on people's lists. Electronics, of course, they actually cooled off a little bit compared to the last couple of years. I think with a lot of people really buying into the smartphone and tablet trends the past couple of years, we might see that might be cooling off a little bit, but it's still very much still very popular gift this year. And then my personal favorite is, and one I'm hoping to get my husband on board with is jewelry. This year, about 25% have jewelry on their wish list, and this is the best result for this category that we've seen since 2006. So I think that's encouraging, if people are looking to get one of those, less practical gifts this year, as a sign of willingness to spend, I guess.
Yeah, I remember the year that it was okay to buy your spouse a vacuum. It wasn't that long ago, so we've left that era, hopefully.
Knock on wood.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you also had some really great insights on mobile this holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, the online shopping surge this year, and I think mobile definitely plays into that kind of, you know, more willingness to shop online and over the Internet. And we're seeing signs that, you know, consumers are planning to do more with their devices compared to years past, and that's particularly with smartphones. So when they're out and about and on the go, you know, phones are, of course, becoming larger, easier to use. And I think an increasing number of consumers are simply becoming more comfortable using these devices for more than just their basic functions. You know, and this might have been something they got into last December, you know, last minute, or, you know, you just kind of, grow with the device and become more comfortable using it. But this year, we're seeing that about 56% of smartphone owners plan to use their device as an aid for holiday shopping, and that's up from, you know, marginally for about 54% last year. But more are planning to do more things with their phones this year, like research products and compare prices, look up retailer information, of course redeem coupons, and then even purchase products. The tablet owners, the percentage of tablet owners who plan to use their devices as an aid for holiday shopping is about flat from a year ago, and that's about 63%, which is still a huge healthy number. But we're also seeing increases in tablet owners' plans to, again, research products, purchase products, and look up at retailer information and redeem coupons. So we'll definitely see consumers out there, out and about, you know, with the mobile devices, you know, scanning products or, looking up other retailers' websites when they're in other people's stores. I mean, we're definitely going to see technology play a huge role this year, and perhaps, you know, the largest role we've seen, in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. My personal favorite is standing in line to buy something in one store, and you get a light bulb, and you're like, oh, man, I forgot, and you go on, use your phone. I've done that quite a few times. back to something that I know we've all talked about, and especially after we've released our economic forecast for the holiday season, the economy continues to be a topic of conversation, even if we are seeing some improvements right now. That said, there are new concerns out there that exist, Ebola, the stock market, foreign tensions, that can all probably actually be addressed separately in three very different calls. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are seeing some, you know, kind of a return of confidence, right? What are you seeing with the numbers from the question that we asked, if the state of the U.S. economy is it going to impact their holiday spending?
Yeah, it was really interesting this year because about 40% of shoppers say the economy will affect their spending plans for the holiday season this year, and that's down about 20% from a year ago. Last October, of course, consumers were contending with the government shutdown, and the year before that, it was the fiscal cliff, and the year before that, it was the debt crisis. So on top of, you know, all the other reservations they had about the strength of the economy and their own financial standing, there were these, you know, kind of other things going on. You know, I certainly think consumers are still cautious and skittish. So we might, you know, those things you mentioned, the Ebola crisis and overseas, you know, relations and even the stock market, you know, could still kind of shake consumers' budgets up this year. So it's something we'll definitely be monitoring closely. But so far, as of the first week of October, you know, consumers seemed a bit more confident about their positions on spending for the holiday season this year. But of course, you know, that's still 40% who say they're impacted by the economy, and that's not an insignificant percentage. We're going to see still many consumers out there trying to spend less overall, shopping for sales, using coupons, comparative shopping, and perhaps even buying more practical gifts. And, of course, several of those things are just, you know, what consumers in general are doing, too. I mean, it's part of that kind of new normal and those smart shopping strategies we honed during the recession. I think when you talk to your average consumer, They're going to say that, you know, while they might be feeling a bit better about, you know, their financial standing compared to the recession, money's still not burning a hole in their pocket. I mean, they don't have to spend it all. So I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of, you know, consumers with maybe a bit of an inflated budget. You know, if you've got $100 to spend on your mom this year, but you can get out of the store for $80, I mean, that's a win for the shopper. And they might not go beyond, you know, spending that $80. You know, holiday shopping is almost like a game for a lot of consumers. They're going to wait for the best deals. So they're going to clip their coupons and do all that comparison shopping because they really still want to make the most of every dollar they spend.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question that this economic recovery has been full of fits and starts. And, you know, 6 years later, I think we're all still just waiting for that burst of progression, I guess.
Right.
So, operator, at this point, we're going to stop talking for a little bit and see if any of our guests on the phone would like to ask some questions.
Yes, ma'am. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Thank you very much. And, Pam, while we wait for the queue, if we get a queue, I just wanted to go back to something we were talking about, reasons why people shop and, you know, are more people shopping online? It's been, obviously, as the Industries Association, we have members that are online and store. You know, in no fashion does NRF believe that the store or the mall is going to perish at any given time. But there, you know, of course, online has taken a bigger chunk. But I was hoping you could touch a little bit, just real quick, in terms of, you know, what are people looking for when they set out to shop, whether it's in-store or online?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're shopping in-store, it's for consumers, there's an increasing importance on that kind of experience. You know, nobody wants to have to go, you know, into a crowded store and pick through a pile of merchandise that isn't folded and is a mess and then stand in line for 45 minutes. Because like you said, you could get on your phone and probably order the same thing online and be out the door. You know, it's too easy to shop online these days and you know, can make all those, you know, kind of detractors from shopping in store, shopping online makes all that kind of go away. But, you know, if consumers are going to take the time to drive out to the store, they definitely want it to be worth their time. You know, and retailers can kind of coax shoppers into their stores using exclusive merchandise, in-store-only exclusive, you know, promotions. Maybe even I've seen some private preview parties where, you know, you're an invited guest and maybe, you know, after-hours party where you get to look at the new holiday, you know, apparel and all that fun stuff. You know, of course, personal shoppers, if you're very confused about, you know, what to buy for mom this year, those kind of assistants are much more helpful in person, you know, than maybe, you know, versus online. And then, you know, some of those interesting things like how-to workshops, you know, I've seen some. You know, you can take a decorating class at a home decor store and maybe get some discounts on the merchandise, or even those kind of, you know, when shopping online, it's the pick-up and return in-store option. It's still driving customers into your store, you know, and giving you that chance that they're going to pick up something else. That said, online's not a done deal for shoppers either. You know, there's things, of course, online retailers can do to improve the experience. You know, as you talked about, Kathy, you know, of course, easy-to-use sites, websites and mobile sites are important to shoppers. And, of course, there's free shipping promotions. If you're going to have to pay $10, $15 for shipping, you know, it might just be worth it to go out to the store instead. You know, and then I think, you know, consumers need to have confidence in the websites they're using, too. You know, it's not going to crash when they're going to use it, or they're not putting items in their cart that are taken out, you know, before they can get to checkout. You know, that it'll be delivered by Christmas, and then they're not going to have to worry about cancellations and out-of-stock merchandise. I think there's nothing that burns an online shopper more is, is to find that perfect gift online, buy it, and then get a notice, you know, an apology notice with a, you know, the measly 10% discount that, you know, I'm sorry, but we've had to cancel your order. And then you have to go out and, you know, hurriedly find that same item again. So, you know, there's definitely things on both the in-store and online side that can really improve the shopping experience for consumers overall.
All very good points. Chelsea, I've learned we don't have any in the queue, correct?
No, ma'am, we actually have 5.
Oh, we do have 5 in the queue. I'm sorry. I'm excellent. Okay, we will take the first question.
Okay, the first question, and I apologize in advance for mispronunciation, Shruti Ramakrishnan with Reuters.
Excellent.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy. Hello. It was really informative hearing about the things that you have to say about how consumer spending is going to be in the holiday season. I just had a couple of questions about the retail side. I mean, I was just wondering, what is the sentiment among U.S. retailers about the coming holiday season following the tough holiday season last year? And also, if retailers are considering discounting more this time to pull in shoppers?
Sure. I will, to save on time, I will address the first part, and then separately, if you'd like to talk this afternoon or email me with follow-ups, that would be wonderful, but I'm going to have to just answer the one part and move on to the next question.
Sure.
Overall, our economists put together a forecast that really paints a picture of optimism for the holiday season. Sales are forecast to grow about 4.1%. over the actual 3.1% growth last holiday season. If sales were to grow 4.1%, that would be the first time that they'd reached that level since 2011. So we're certainly looking at a more confident consumer and a more optimistic retailer. There are plenty of economic indicators pointing to the fact that growth will continue this holiday season in terms of sales. Barring any unforeseen, you know, incident like we had last year with the government shutdown, if tensions in the stock market continue, you know, we may need to look at our forecast in November, but at this point we're really not expecting any of those to affect the 4.1% growth. And I think optimistic is a really good word to use in terms of what retailers are expecting. So feel free to email me or email Press at NRS if you have follow-up questions. I'm happy to help you this afternoon.
Okay.
Operator?
Yes, ma'am. Our next question comes from Christina Gustafson with CNBC.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hi.
I just had a quick question, and I know you kind of touched on this a little bit. We're seeing, obviously, an optimistic forecast from you, but not just you. We're also seeing them from Deloitte and some other groups. But at the same time, this week we kind of saw a number of negative headlines with Walmart guiding sales down. Urban just said that sales are disappointing so far this quarter. I was just kind of wondering what's behind the disconnect there and, you know, whether there are any concerns that maybe the forecast is too rosy.
Sure. We put out a press release the other day saying, or I guess a statement on our website, that September retail sales were weaker than expected. And, you know, we think that some of that, of course, comes from the lag that we saw from the summer. You know, we know that August was revised down. August was also not as strong as it could have been. And for September retail sales to be down, it certainly wasn't expected. But, you know, in talking to our economist literally 2 days ago who was here in our office, you know, we're all scratching our heads at the same time wondering what this means. We don't look at single retailers, you know, and their estimates for growth as a way to guide our forecast. You know, our forecast really is based on what we're seeing in terms of income. And simply put, there's more income in the pot right now. We look at job creation. There are more jobs at this point than there were last year. You know, we look at, you know, comparisons to last holiday season. And, We are not yet ready at this point, you know, to lower our forecast. We are still optimistic. You know, we think that quote-unquote funk has passed us. But then again, you know, our CEO has talked about it for a long time. There is reason to believe that there is, you know, this bifurcated recovery. And, Pam, if you wanted to touch on that real quick, you know, there is among the lower income and among the, you know, of course, the higher income, there's a very big difference in spending patterns. Pam, do you have an extra thought on that?
Yeah, I think it's just really important, you know, while the overall forecast or, you know, what we saw consumers plan to spend this year is overall up, I mean, there's still definitely those pockets of consumers that are struggling, and they're not an insignificant number of people. You know, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but just looking at that kind of, you know, split in income of those earning under $50,000 and those earning above $50,000 a year, the higher earners increased in planned spending was larger than those you know, making under $50,000 a year. So it's, you know, it, depending on where you're standing, you know, with your income, it certainly affects your outlook on holiday spending plans.
Mm-hmm. And Christine, I can get you that income data specifically if you'd like. I can even get you some historical information on that if you want.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Christina. Operator, do we have any more?
Yes, ma'am. We have three more questions in the queue at this time.
All right, great.
The next question comes from John Ewald with the Star Tribune.
Hi, John.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Pam. Hey, question for you going back to the data breach. Are you seeing any evidence that consumers will avoid certain stores that had data breaches, such as Target last year or Home Depot more recently?
Pam, I'm going to let you, did you do research on that, or am I dreaming? I know that I feel like I've seen something on that, but do you have insights on that, Pam?
Over the past year, we've been kind of tracking for several retailers, you know, specifically, you know, how consumers felt about spending in their stores. And, you know, I think Target bore the brunt of the kind of data breach there. Unfortunately, it came at a, you know, during last holiday season when a lot of shoppers were out in their stores, and you know, the Home Depot kind of, you know, it definitely wasn't missed, but it didn't make quite the splash that Target made, and even Kmart in the last week. I mean, I don't, you know, I barely saw anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the customers that were affected personally are going to have the greater concerns about going back to those stores. Or if they do go back, they're going to change their method of payment. You know, if you felt that your credit might have been compromised, you might be going, you know, by Target last year, you might be going back into their stores for one of their irresistible deals and just pay cash for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's more about shoppers just becoming more vigilant and responsible about the way they use credit and their personal information and how much they're willing to give to certain retailers.
All right. John, again, please feel free to follow up with questions. We're happy to help you if you want to email press@nrf.com. Operator,
thank
do we have another one?
Yes, ma'am. Our next question comes from Rob Bates with JCK Magazine.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Okay, hi. I just wanted to double check the number you gave us. You said 25% of consumers have jewelry on their wish list. Is that people who want to get received jewelry or people who plan to buy jewelry?
That is people who would like to receive jewelry.
Would like to receive jewelry, but not necessarily who plan to buy it.
Yeah, we'll see the plan to buy figures in November.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. All right. Next.
Our next question comes from Meho Kawachi with Sneak Eye Newspapers.
Hi. Good morning, ladies.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. So I have a question about there's a more and more sort of growing awareness that, you know, the discrepancy or gap between the affluent customers getting richer, mm-hmm. and then, you know, struggling customers are really struggling more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So in this research, you stated this $804, it's average number. And probably, you know, if you see the real picture, it will be the kind of big discrepancy between two categories. Mm-hmm. And do you see this kind of tendency more and more, and how do you take on this?
So this is Kathy. I'll address it real quick because I know that this is something our CEO, Matthew Shea, is very, very passionate about. Again, going back to that bifurcated recovery, bifurcated economy, you know, for a little while now, we've seen this either-or trend, right, where consumers for quite some time have been forced to choose between buying that refrigerator and holding off on other discretionary products or buying, you know, the sweaters that they need and, you know, refraining from buying a new car. It's probably a terrible example, but... and you're right, and very observant that there is an extreme difference between the below 50,000 and the above 50,000, and it is not something that has gone amiss among retailers. I can tell you for sure that, you know, there is a lot of recognition about that, and, you know, at the end of the day, as the retailer's voice here in Washington, you know, we haven't forgotten that. You know, to get to the recovery point where we feel we need to be, first and foremost, need to be, you know, the conversation needs to continue to be job creation, because without jobs and without income, of course, this recovery just will not progress. We've seen, you know, we've definitely seen some progress, but there are, like Pam said, and she'll reiterate here, there are still a chunk of Americans who are just not comfortable with their finances. Pam, do you have a further thought on that?
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, it's we're seeing the spending increase is being driven by, you know, upper income earners. To kind of give some context to that, anybody earning above $50,000, the average plan to spend is over $1,000 this year compared to that $800 average. And those earning under $50,000 are planning to spend about half of that, about $500 overall. So, you know, there's, you know, and you know, we kind of see this in the age gaps too. Those 18 to 24-year-olds that are spending less on the holiday season have less disposable income. They aren't making as much. They might not be in the jobs that their college degrees, you know, they might be underemployed there. And you know, some of those younger spenders too lack that disposable spending. And so, you know, I think there's still real concern there, not only between the bifurcation of income, but, you know, whether, you know, these younger shoppers are eventually going to get to the level of, you know, income.
and
to get to that comfort level, too. I mean, they've really lived their kind of formative years during the recession and seeing what their parents go through. So, you know, I think even, you know, going into, you know, and looking at those younger consumers kind of adds context to that story, too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I think we have one more question.
Yes, ma'am. The next question comes from Lorraine Mirabella with the Baltimore Sun.
Hi, thanks for doing the call.
Hi.
I just wondered, given the greater optimism among consumers this year, are you expecting to see any shift in the types or categories of stores where consumers will be shopping?
Yep, I think that's a great question. So I can tell you historically, through the recession, of course, you know, we've seen discount stores up at the top. This is Kathy. We've seen discount stores up the top. You know, and I'm actually going to make a correlation here that I'd love Pam to follow up on, because we've seen this before. And Pam, I missed this year. It looks like 60% of shoppers are going to shop at department stores, which is up from about 56% last year, and is the highest amount since 2006. So Pam, does that maybe speak to the, you know, looking for value again?
Yeah, I think that definitely does. You know, I think there's, you know, regardless of whether or not it's there, I think there's a perception of, you know, quality, too, that plays in. We know that quality is certainly an important factor in consumers' decisions, you know, to buy this year, that may be driving, you know, shoppers into department stores.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, department stores aren't immune from those sales and discounts, so, you know, shoppers know that they can get great deals there, too, and maybe at least buy a higher perceived quality product or have more, you know, a better selection or, you know, more exclusive merchandise, those types of things that they're seeking out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the kind of other interesting things we've seen in the plans to purchase this year, we added the smaller local business this year, and about 27% of consumers plan to shop in those businesses, too. And a lot of those businesses aren't known for their rock-bottom prices. So, you know, we don't have anything to compare that number to, but I think that's still a great percentage for the local businesses, you know, and that kind of movement to buying local and supporting your you know, friends and neighbors that way, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all great points. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
Sure. So, operator, I think that's it for questions, and we are really up against our time frame anyway, so we are going to wrap up. I would just like to say thank you again for joining, and for all of your holiday survey data questions, please visit our holiday headquarters at nrs.com/holidays or call Pam or email Pam at 614-846-0146. That is the main press line. All right. Thank you.